Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, goodness, I hope you shook hands with somebody. Praise the Lord. Good to have Keith with us, his wife, today. Praise the Lord, I hadn't had them in a long time. They live on the other side of the world, so they don't get here very often. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So how's everybody today? Well, today is a unique day. What has the president asked us to do today? A day of prayer. That's absolutely right. And after what's all happened down in the Houston area, you know, there's lots of people that got problems down there. Cheryl and I were sitting in the back one day later on this weekend. I just asked her for a second. I thought, it's amazing how quick we forget how blessed we are. You know, I mean, you can talk about this and 15 minutes later already forget it. I'm serious. But to think of the tens of thousands of people that 2 weeks ago had a place to go, a house, a car, and everything, and then all of a sudden after all this devastation came with all these floods and everything, it washed away or killed some of them, and they have nothing. I mean, I saw a lady, and she was sitting there crying, and she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no place to go and no one to go to. And I have no house. I've lost my house. It was destroyed. I have no car. It went underwater. I have nothing. What am I going to do? What would you do if that was you? Isn't it amazing when it's come down to that? If we had prayed a lot earlier, we might not have all these problems. Y'all know that? But we don't. We don't. But anyway, since the president asked us to pray, I want us to pray. And I want us to do this at the beginning of the service today. And I would like for some of you, I don't care, man or woman, but I would like for at least a half a dozen of you to pray. You can just stand at your seat or you can stay seated at your seat. You don't have to have a microphone or nothing like that. I just want you to talk loud as you can so that hopefully we can hear it. But we know God hears. He's the one that hears. So I want someone, I don't care who you are, someone just to hold up your hand right now and say, I'll be the first one to pray. Somebody hold, okay, we got one right over here. Go for it.
Dear Heavenly Father, King
of
Kings, Lord of Lords, God of the universe, we just pray for your mercy and your deliverance through this hard time for those who have been struck by Hurricane Harvey and for all people, because in Ezekiel we know that you do not delight in the death of the wicked, but that all men should turn and be saved by your holy grace. Lord, we just pray for you to reach down and save them, send someone to minister to them and tell them about your glory, about your kingdom, so that they might never have this problem again. Amen.
I want everybody to thank and praise the Lord for a moment for just everything that you have. That's your house, your car, your food, you know, your children, anything that you want to thank him for. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, anything you want to thank him for. In the next few minutes, I want everybody just to praise the King for what he's given us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you that we're sitting here in this little building all dry and got food to eat today and everything. And thank you for giving us things so we can help other people. Thank you for those that we have helped. Thank you for those that we're going to help. Lord, we are so grateful for everything you've given us. It's so easy to forget what God has done for us. It's so easy. And it's so quick. You can forget in a heartbeat what you have. You know, you can go from to a grumbling mode real quick. We forget where we are. You know, I was talking with Cheryl the other night. We were talking about how grateful we were that we had a dry place to lay down and everything. And then she read an article to me about some guy that was in his house. There was a 10-foot alligator in his house. And the thing was swimming around in the living room. You know, hey, that's not exactly what I want to go home to find in my house is a 10-foot long alligator. But you know, there's many, many, many of these alligators and snakes and everything else down there with those people. And they're having to try to get out the best they can. So, I mean, it's really a disaster with what happened. It's so terrible. And to think that I believe, just like several of you made a statement, I believe these things happen because that we do not put God first. I believe that we, the church, we don't put God first. We don't pray for the lost like we should. Today we're going to talk about praying for the lost and seeing results. I had a police officer the other day come to see me, and we were talking about how these things work and why people do what they do. And I was trying to explain to him, he had a problem that he needed to deal with, and he, as a police officer, he knew how he could deal with it, but I told him that wouldn't solve the problem. I said, the first thing you need to learn to do when you want to change somebody's heart, in other words, if I wanted to change your heart or my wife wanted to change my heart, how is the only way in the world to make that work? Prayer. Yeah, prayer. God is the only one that can change us. In other words, for those of you that are in this room, somebody has prayed for you over the years and you have made that decision and you're saved and you're born again. You're walking with God and you're here in this place today because somebody prayed for you. It was not an accident. You didn't get saved just by being at the right place at the right time. It's not an accident. It's only done through prayer. And so if we don't learn how to pray, we can never change anyone. Now then, I used to wonder, whenever you try to tell somebody about the best thing ever happened to you, when you see Jesus do something good for somebody, you like to tell them. You like to tell everybody what Jesus done for you. But so many people, even in the church, won't believe. I mean, I guess that's a major issue with all of us, is unbelief. We say we believe, and yet sometimes when I see the Scripture, and I know the Scripture, and I know what it says, but yet it appears to not be working for me, I would think I must be the worst unbeliever of the whole bunch. Because I'm supposed to know. You know what I mean? In other words, here I am supposed to be a man of God, you know, that knows the Scripture, and I do know a lot of it, but I don't know near all of it. And I've seen it work. I've prayed for you. I've seen God do miracles with some of you. Some of you have received your own miracles from God. And yet some of us have never seen a miracle of no kind. And even after we've seen miracles, we won't pray for somebody else. Now that's really sad, but if you find somebody that's lost, I've told this story before several times, but I said, you know, if I were to go out and say, okay, I'm going to go down to the store or to the airline, and I'm going to buy me a couple of round trip tickets from here to Honolulu and back. And then I'm going to find me somebody in here that I'm going to take these two tickets. I'm going to have them in my hand. Then I'm going to take $10,000 cash for spending money, because, you know, you might need a little if you went to Honolulu. So I give you two round-trip tickets and an envelope that's got $10,000 in cash in it. Now, who in the world would turn that down if I had that out there? Who would like to have this? Do you know, I will have to say, I heard a young man talking about this last week. He said when he was in church one time, normally he always sat on the front row when he come in. But said this trip, they had them come in and sit in alphabetical order. So he said, I was nearly all the way to the back. And he said, there was a pastor come up there, and he says, I've got a $100 bill I'm going to give to anybody that'll come up and get it. And everybody thought he was joking. So he said again, I've got a $100 bill. Reached in his pocket and took it out. I said, I've got a $100 bill here. It's who's ever will come get it. So he said, I'm sitting on the very back row thinking, any other time I would be sitting on the front. But today I'm sitting on the back. But he said, I wonder what's wrong with all this bunch. Nobody's going to get it. So he said, I believe that man means what he says. So he said, I jumped up and I ran down, nearly run over everybody. And I run down there and said, by the time I got nearly there, two or three others saw what was happening. So they all ran over to the guy. But said, nobody took the $100 bill. He said, he was holding it up like this. He said, when I got there, I climbed right up his leg and jumped up on the arm and grabbed that $100 bill. And the pastor said, you get the $100 bill. You were the only one that took it. Now then, you see what I mean? He said, I was the only one that took it. He said, I'm sitting on the back row.
What church was this? I think I need to go somewhere else.
But the thing about it is, I really believe, literally, that's exactly when I heard him tell that story, I thought, you know, Lord, that's the way we are. We have all these awesome promises, and they're ours, and we don't take them by force away from the enemy. We just let him run over us. And so if we don't take it by force, just like that boy, that was such a cool story as I sat there and listened to him, and I thought, you know, when he finally realized it and he jumped up and started running, when he started running to the front, well, some of the others thought, well, it must be real. So they're going to run too. So, he said they were running. He said, two or three of them got there before I did. But he said, the pastor was holding the $100 bill up like this. And he said, nobody was tall enough to get it. He said, so I just ran right up his leg and grabbed hold of that arm and pulled it down. And I grabbed that $100 bill out of his hand. And he said, the pastor gave me the $100 bill. I got to keep it. And then he said, this is the way we are. God has given us the keys to the kingdom, and we don't take it away from the enemy. And I thought, you know, that's me. I do that. But, you know, I got news for you. Every one of you, if I walk along with you, every one of you do that same thing. Every one of us. Maybe we're going to change the way we do business. But let me tell you and why that people will take that $100 bill or that $10,000. I mean, I've never had the privilege to give anybody $10,000. Well, no, I take that back. I have too. One time that I remember, the Lord told me one time with one man that he wasn't a member of this church or nothing. It's something else told him, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to give that man $10,000. I did it. I had the $10,000, so I gave it to the man. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord blessed me abundantly for being an obedient son. He really did bless me. Now, then, if God tells you to do something, if it sounds crazy, but if you know it comes from God, what are you supposed to do?
Do it.
You better do it. You better do it, or he might be very disappointed in you. But, you know, the thing about it, if you hear from God, do what he says. But the thing about it is, a lot of us hear from God, but we don't do what the Lord says, because these people in this airline ticket and this trip to Hawaii, people will get that every time, because that's all secular. You know, that's not spiritual. But when it comes down to something that, what if I told you I had something that's so far ahead of a $10,000 bill and two free tickets to Hawaii and back, and it's available to every one of us in this room who wants it? Everybody would hold your hand up, because most of you already have it. You know what that is, don't you? That's Jesus Christ and knowing him as Lord and Savior. Now then, anybody in their right mind, you know, and I'm sure some of you are just like me, whenever I tried to tell people, let me tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And it's the day I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I say, you know, Jesus died on the cross for you. He rose again on the third day for you. He paid the price for your salvation. He paid the price for your healing. He paid the price for your deliverance, for your prosperity. It's all yours, and it's already done. It's been paid for, paid in full. Now then, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and become a Christian, now then you're a son of God. The whole kingdom belongs to you. Everything in the kingdom belongs to you. You can ask Him for anything, technically speaking, and if you believe with no doubt in your heart, and He will do it for you. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes He does it instantly. I mean, I think about Tony over there, whenever he hurt his shoulder, broke his arm or whatever it was, it took 3 or 4 months of praying and believing for him to get healed. But you did get healed. Sometimes we don't get our answer immediately. And sometimes when we don't get our answer immediately, God's testing us. So don't give up. You know, absolute the scripture tells us, don't give up. He's training us how to be an overcomer. And so that's what He's doing. And he is doing that. And so anyway, when we look at the scripture, we will see why people in the world, when you ask them about Jesus Christ and you tell them the best thing ever happened to you, and then you say, would you like to have that experience and come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And so many of them will say no. You know, just like I was telling this police officer the other day, I told him, I said, when I was talking to him, I said, until you learn how to pray, you're not going to be a, you know, really, I didn't say it in these words, but this is the way it should have come out. Until you learn to pray, you're not going to be a very good police officer. But guess what? Until you learn to pray, you're not going to be a very good Christian. Amen. You know that? You know, when we think we can get everything done physically, you got a problem. I can assure you it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to master everything with the physical world. You're going to have to learn how to pray and learn how to pray and change anyone. Now, I've made a teaching on this. That if you haven't looked at that, you need to get a copy of that. Learn how to pray and change anyone. Because if you tell somebody about the best thing ever happened to you and they turn it down, then the only way to get them to accept Jesus is by prayer. When I learned that God, the Father, put the salvation of the church, the salvation of the world, into the hands of the church, it blew me away. That He gave us a time of training on this earth, and He showed us exactly how to do it. And if we don't learn these principles that we're going to talk about here in just a minute, if we don't learn these principles and learn how to pray and change anyone, you will never get to the potential in life that you need to get to. I think about Mike and Gracie over here with a story about a police officer also that was, everything was going downhill. I mean, he was lost. He was having troubles. Nothing was working. He was ready to pull the plug and punch out. And I mean, he's ready to call it quits. I mean, he's a police officer. And he had a list this long of problems that were wrong, didn't he, Mike? Mike told him, he said, come in here and let's just pray. And so they went into his office and they started praying, or out under the stars or wherever they were. But anyway, they prayed. And Mike prayed and Gracie prayed and they prayed and that police officer prayed. And they prayed about everything that was on that man's list. And I'm telling you what, within just a few weeks, that man, everything in his life changed. He got to go to the school he wanted to. He got the resources to do what he was going to do. And that man's life totally changed. And it all changed because you two knew how to pray. Prayer is what changed it, wasn't it, Mike? Now then, what if they hadn't known how to pray? What if they had never learned how to pray? And I believe that is the biggest problem since I've learned that the salvation of the whole world is in the hands of the church. And if we don't learn how to do what is written here in the scripture, because it's hard to dig it out, because whenever I tell somebody about Jesus and they just turn me down, you know, it's just like so many other things. I've had men that goes to church all their life, every time the door is open, and they go to a church that does not believe in the healing power of Jesus. And did you know there's lots of those churches out there? There's lots of them that do not believe in the healing power of Jesus. I know I went to one for many, many, many years of my life that didn't believe in healing. I tried to tell the people in those churches, in those classes, that I taught a Bible study class in some of those Baptist churches. And many of those people, they didn't believe. And even when I told them, they didn't believe. In fact, everybody in the Baptist church over here in Justin knew what I believed. But one day there was a young couple come up there, and my class was upstairs on the right, first room on the right. They come there and they said, we're looking for Thurman Scrivener's class. And they said, would y'all want a couples class or a singles class? He said, we want Thurman Scrivener's class. Well, we have a couples class down here and this. And they said, wait a minute, we don't need a couples or a singles. We want Thurman Scrivener's class. Where is it? They said, go up those stairs, first room on your right, and there it is. So when the man and his wife came up there, he said, what does this church have against you? I said, what do you mean? I don't think anything. He said, they tried every way in the world to get us in some other class besides yours. He said, we had to ask specifically for your class, and then they reluctantly told us where your room was. I had no idea that they were doing that to me. I had no idea that everybody knew I was a believing teacher of the Word of God and had seen some miracles and many people had been healed, but they didn't want anybody to come to my class. Isn't that sad? So anyway, I just stood in awe. In fact, finally, Cheryl told me one day, she says, for this little handful of people that you're dealing with here on Sunday morning, you really ought to just, stay at home and spend that time with God. He said, you're not getting very far with most of these people. He said, the people in this church, is only a handful of them believe what you teach. And I said, okay, so I will quit. And so I did. I thought to myself, I went to the pastor and I told the pastor there, I said, I'd been a deacon there for many, many, many years, been a Sunday school teacher there for many, many, many years. And I went and told him, I said, I've started my own church. And so I said, I'm going to leave the church. I just want you to know that you'll need to find somebody to teach my class and that I won't be back. And that's the last correspondence I had with him for years. Nobody, after I'd been a deacon, a Sunday school teacher and everything, not one single person had called or nothing. Nothing. So anyway, I met a deacon in the post office a few years ago. He said, good morning, Thurman. How you doing? And I said, I'm doing fine. He said, we had in deacon's meeting last night, we had a meeting and said, we talked about you. I said, oh, you did? I said, what's the deal? He said, we thought you were crazy talking about healing all the time. But he said, now we realize with the thousands of people have been healed through your ministry that you were right and we were wrong. So he said, we found out the hard way. So all I'm trying to do is teach you what God's Word says about how to walk in divine health. If I've learned something that works, wouldn't I be a fool if I didn't pass it on to you? Wouldn't I be a fool? And when you learn how to pray, you can change all that. You can really change all that. So I want to show you something in the scripture. And if you tell somebody, just like I told that police officer the other night, I told him, I said, if you don't learn to pray, I said, I'll give you an example. And of course, first of all, when I reached up and talked to him about his heart, when I hit him in the heart, I realized he's got a piece of steel on his chest. He just not got a uniform on. He's wearing steel, some kind of high quality steel, I can assure you. I told him right there when I felt that steel, I told him, I said, one thing about it, this is why God made me a pastor, not a police officer, because I couldn't be a police officer. He said, you couldn't? I said, no. He said, why? I said, because I'd kill them all. I said, all the wickedness that people do, I couldn't put up with it like you guys have to. You know, I said, a guy pulls a gun on me or pulls a knife on me, it's history. I don't plan to lose the battle. And so, would you?
No.
And you know, so when we put these boys out there on the line, they're out there to protect you. You and me. And I couldn't be one of them. I'm telling you for sure, I couldn't be one. But anyway, I told him, I said, you know, you need to learn to pray. And I said, with the case he was talking to me about an individual, I told him, I said, if you will pray over that person and you'll take authority over that and you'll learn to go to the throne of grace, the third heaven. I said, from there, sure, I went to the throne a while ago. I said, so when you learn to go to the throne room of God, you can pray from there and you can get things done. And one of the things you need to learn, you need to get the people's full name. So if you can pray and put their full name in the prayer, it makes a difference. I've learned that Satan, when he's up there, when you're praying, if you don't use the name of the person, he might stand before you just like this lock, this case in heaven, just like this court of law that we're talking about. Everything that works in a normal court of law works in the court of heaven. So if you come up and say, I'm going to pray for you or whatever, I'm going to talk to God about you, and you say, I'm going to talk to God about this man right here. I don't know what his name is, never seen him before, but I'm going to talk about him. So I go to the throne of God and I say, God, do something good for this old boy here. I can just see the devil stepping between me and you, Keith, and saying, you don't even know his name. You don't even know who he is. How dare you think that you're going to get God to answer a prayer for somebody that you don't even know their name. But if I call your full name before the throne of God, then the devil has nothing to go by. When I say, Keith Capellum he's been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has set you free. He's paid the price for you in heaven. It's all done. Now he told me to rebuke the spirits of hell and command them to leave you. And then he told me to lay my hands on you and you'll be healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now I do all this in the name of Jesus for Keith Capellum. In Jesus' name. Did we get close to your name?
Oh yeah.
You see what I mean? So when we go to the throne room of God, we need to make sure that we know the name of the people we're praying for. It's amazing the times that you don't know and can't know people, but sometimes we even get prayers answered like that. But the main thing is the more information you have, the more information you quote, as just like any lawyer, any attorney, when you walk in, the more information you have, usually the better off you are. I remember one case I had to go to New York. I designed and built a piece of equipment years ago that a lady got her hand cut on. And it wasn't no fault of mine that she did that. She was breaking every rule in the book. I put every kind of safety device imaginable on that piece of equipment, and she overrode every one of them. It's amazing how she cut her hand on that, and then she sued my company. So I had to go to New York, and when I went up there, she had a lawyer, a Jewish lawyer, and I had a couple of lawyers that the company got for me. Anyway, when we went in there, I sat down there, and that lawyer asked me every kind of question in the book. As he asked me these questions, I wouldn't answer anything till I was completely sure I understood the question. I would not open my mouth or anything until I knew what I was going to say. I didn't say, because I learned one time with a court of law I went to that everything I uttered, they put it down on a piece of paper with that machine that they type with. Y'all know what I mean? I didn't know that, so I made a complete fool out of myself when I'm sitting there talking. When they'd start to ask you a question, I would say things, and they're writing that down. And then when I listened to that back, I thought, who was the idiot that made that? Well, that was me. You know, I couldn't believe what I said. I couldn't believe what came out of my mouth. But it trained me for this day. So now that I'm in this court of law, and I'm making sure I have everything together, and when they ask me a question, I make sure that I have all the details together, and I never make a statement until I know I've got everything perfect. Now, if we would do that with our prayer life, we would be amazed at the results we'd get with our prayer life. But with the secular world, when I did that, when I finally got out of that court, the second day, we was in there 2 days, asked me a million questions. We walked out, and as we're walking down the corridor, a little Jewish lawyer walked up to me and said, "Sir, got a question, off the record." I said, "Okay, what do you want?" He said, "I have been a lawyer for a long time, and I've never seen a man I couldn't rattle his cage." But he said, "I couldn't rattle your cage at all. How do you do that?" I said, "Sir, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you just saw a demonstration of my Holy Spirit's power. As he sent me before you, he gave me every answer I needed so that I won this case." I said, "Now he would love to have you as his son also. Would you like to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" And after he saw this awesome 2 days of demonstration of the secular world, guess what his answer was? "No, I'm not interested." Now you think, what's wrong with this crazy guy? Everybody should want him, right, Paula? I mean, but it's amazing when you show people the power of God and how he works and demonstrate it, just like I did with that guy. He still doesn't want it. Just like the Baptist Church, I tried to demonstrate the power of healing. In fact, Jerry and Camilla come to my Sunday school class one time when I was in that Baptist church. And like Jerry has said several times, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind saying that again, "Jerry, what did you think about me that first Sunday you went to my Sunday school class?" I don't even know.
Jerry, say it one more time.
It was 14
hours. Yeah, well, he was crazy as what?
But you had never heard anything like me, had you, Jerry?
In my past, we called people like you holy rollers.
Yeah, holy rollers, okay.
Baptists don't believe in holy rollers.
Yeah, but today, a new day, years later, Jerry told me just a while ago, he said, "Thurman, your teaching has changed our life forever, and we can never be the same." Is that what you said, Jerry? And Camilla agrees with him. You know, I mean, so it changed their life forever. So,
it changed all of us.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. That's what. Wow, but let me continue on here with this, what we need to learn to do. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and start with verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Okay, turn.
"Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God."
Okay, now think about these last two verses, talking about this wonderful ministry that God has given him. God gave Paul a ministry just like he gave me a ministry. There's no two ways about it. God called me out. He sent me as a Baptist, and I used to go whenever I'd take the list of, I was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. I would take that list that we had on Wednesday night for prayer meeting, and I would go to the people's homes, and I would sit down, and maybe some of you in this room here has been the recipient of some of those visits. I don't know. I know Jerry and Camilla. I know I went to their house a couple of times, but the rest of you, I don't know. Because I used to, when I was a little bitty minister, I didn't have what I have to do today. So I would just go visit people, and I would sit there and talk to them about sin and sickness and all the things God's Word says. Quote those scriptures that Dave quoted a while ago, Isaiah 53:4-5. All those verses we would talk about, and then I would build their faith to the point that they would repent of their sins. We would pray in faith, and they got healed. Now then, you don't realize that when people are getting healed, they remember this forever. In fact, when God brought Cheryl to me as a mate, she was telling some of the ladies down at Christie's Cafe, Christie's Restaurant, her daughter, that she was going to get married. And so they said, well, who are you going to marry? And she said, well, I'm going to marry Thurman Scrivener, my pastor. And some of the things that was said to her was just out of this world. Some of the things that people said, my sister or my aunt or my uncle or my dad, or he had cancer, and he went and Thurman came out and prayed over us and God healed him. And so she began to hear people tell stories that she had never heard before. She said, it just blew me away to think of the people that you'd been and prayed and ministered to and the people that you got healed. Well, the way I could do that in this ministry that that God had given me, I had to go put legs to that. I had to go out and do something. I'm kind of like that boy that come running down the aisle there a while ago that we was talking about. I'm going to get that $100 bill. He come running down the hall, and he jumped right up that man's leg and jerked that $100 bill out of his hand. He laid hold on that $100 bill. He took that thing by force. Well, that basically is what I was doing with this ministry that God has given me. And then I began to learn why so many people at first, they would not receive the truth. So I would try to show them, and even, in fact, when you take a scripture, like for instance, the very first man that had terminal cancer was over in Louisville, and his name was Ed Brock. And Ed Brock was 42 years old, and he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And the doctors say there's not a chance he can get well. Not a chance. So anyway, I went to visit him in the hospital. Now, this is when God was having to work with me, because I don't know these things that we're talking about. This is all new to me, but I'm trying my best. So I went to the hospital to visit Ed when I got home from a trip. And when I went to the hospital, in fact, my wife told me when I got there, she says, Ed had surgery today, and I don't think he got a good report, so you really ought to go see him. So I said, okay. So I went up there, and when I got there and found out that he got a terrible report, as his wife told me, that he had only had terminal cancer in every organ of his body, and he only had a few weeks left to live. And when she told me that, this time I had a wonderful word from the Lord. The Holy Spirit spoke to me in a voice that I could hear and said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. Now, I didn't have a lot of faith back in those days, because I can remember so clearly as I walked away from her room and his room, and I'm walking down that corridor going to my pickup, I look up and I said, Lord, you didn't hear what she said. She said he has terminal cancer and there's no hope. Well, God didn't say anything, but I know this is what he was thinking. If you ever get a hold of who I am, if you ever learn who I am, getting healed won't be no problem. You don't know who I am. Is that really true? Yeah, we don't know him. We say we know him, but we don't know him. So anyway, to tell you how our eyes are blinded, that next week, after Ed went home to the hospital, from the hospital, Sunday, they sent him home, and they sent him home to die. So I told my wife, I said, you know, I had a word from God, and God clearly told me that I'm supposed to go and tell Ed Brock to call him into the church to pray with him, and God's going to heal him. Now, if you had a word from the Lord, but how many of us have that word from the Lord? We all do. It's written in the book. But in this case, I didn't know it. So I want us to go from where we are right here. I want you to go to James 5:14-16. And I want you to see what's available here. And I'm going to show you. I went to Ed Brock's house. He was sent home to the hospital, from the hospital to die. And when he got home, James 5:14-15, look what they said. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, you notice there's a few things right there that you got to learn to do. The first thing you got to do is pray. Is that right? You got to know how to pray. So he said, call the elders of the church. And of course, you know, you always need to get some, I prefer to use men when he says elders. So I call the men of the church, get 3 or 4 or 5. In this particular case, I was a loner myself. They said, is any sick among you? Well, Ed Brock was sick. Let him call for the elders of the church, let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So I take that scripture, and I'd had a word from God that lined up with this scripture. And so I was on fire knowing that I have a written word that says he'll heal us. But you know, this is for all of us. This is not something special. This is for all of us. And so anyway, we went over to his house after church Sunday, after church was over. And I walked in, I said, Ed, I have a word from the Lord for you. He said, what do you mean? I said, let me show you a scripture. I said, get your Bible out. He got his Bible out and he read this scripture. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Who is that for in the church? It's for everybody. It was for everybody in my Baptist church. But they didn't want it. They didn't believe it. They just didn't believe it. Well, there's people come here that don't believe either. That's why we do so much teaching from God's Word. Try to get you to say, if this is written, if Matthew 18:19 says, if two of you on earth agree about anything, what does that mean? Yeah, that's what it means. Just like Mike over there a while ago prayed that beautiful prayer for all those people. He had had back trouble for 20 years or whatever it was, and then he was down in his back and he couldn't do nothing. And his wife finally said, you know, we listen to Thurman talk about these promises all the time, Mike, so why don't we just agree in prayer that God will do what he promised? Now, he'd been only had that problem about 20 years, I think, or something like that. And anyway, they prayed. They finally decided that the Word of God is true, and Gracie prayed over Mike and thanked the Lord for healing her husband. And just like Mike's told us many times, it only took one heartbeat for his pain to go away in his back, and it's never come back after all these years. Now, isn't that amazing? Yeah, praise God. But, you know, just think, that was available to them at first, but they didn't know it. And the church they went obviously didn't teach that, because this one says here, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Well, I give that to Ed Brock. He just come home from the hospital and he read it out of his own Bible. Now, do we believe this book is God's word? Yes. Do we believe this whole thing is God's word, or we just believe there's parts of it that's his word? It's supposed to be all of it, right? Absolutely supposed to be all of it. So anyway, I said, Ed, what do you think about that? He said, first of all, you're telling me that God spoke to you and told you this verse? I said, yes. He said, I've never heard of anybody ever said they'd heard God's voice. I said, well, I hadn't either, but I have now. I heard it. I said, he spoke in front of your room the other night, and he told me to tell you to do this, and if you will, he'll heal you. He said, Thurman, I've been in church. I'm 42 years old. I've been in church all of my life. He said, I have never, ever heard a preacher preach on James 5, never heard a Sunday school teacher teach on it, and you're going to tell me that you believe this thing still works? I said, yes, it's written in the Bible. I believe it works. He said, I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. So what do you do? If you take the Word of God to them, you reach up and grab that horse by the bridle and pull him over and even pull his mouth down in the water. You can't make him drink. So anyway, if the Word of God says that I can pray, let's go back over there to where we were in 2 Corinthians 4. We're 3 and 4. Go to verse 3.
But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Okay, now stop and think about the magnitude of what he just said. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, if the gospel can be hidden from them that are lost, and then there are scriptures that say that whenever you hear the word and you don't fully understand it, Satan immediately steals the word out of your heart. You remember those verses? That if you hear the word and you don't really fully understand it, then Satan comes immediately and steals the word right out of your heart. So let's go to verse 4.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Okay, so if we take this wonderful gospel that we have here, and if we can't get through to someone, can't get them to believe that it's done, then the scripture says that we can pray, we can take authority over the enemy. In fact, let's go from where we are right here on this to Luke 10, 19, and 20, and let's see what we can do when we take authority over the enemy, that other lawyer in heaven, that Satan himself. Let's see what that says. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Is that a pretty awesome scripture?
Yes.
Then to verse 20, let's see what verse 20 says. And it said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits, in other words, these evil spirits that have been blinding the mind of us for anything and everything, are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If that devil is subject to you and me, and I can't get through to my friend Ed because he's got terminal cancer, and I've showed him the Word of God, and he looks at it, and when he looks at it, he says, Sermon, I can't believe that'll work. Then who is it that's messing with his brain? It's got to be the devil. It can't be God, right? The devil is standing there blocking that. He does not want him to believe, because if we've got a law case here in the court of heaven, and we're going into this, and I'm standing on this thing and trying to get this thing to work, and if the devil can blind his mind and keep him to the point where he says, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I don't agree with that. You're going to have trouble getting that person healed. But if you can convince him that God's word is true, and to take authority over that spirit, what did it say that that spirit has to do? He has to be subject to you. So as a son of God, when I tell the devil he's got to take a flying leap and leave Ed Brock and quit tormenting him, quit stealing the word out of his mind and his heart, and I demand and command that you go away and that you leave him alone and never come to him again in Jesus' name. And then when I pray the prayer of faith and anoint him with oil, what's going to happen? He's going to get healed. All I need to do is convince him through prayer. If I go home and pray, I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to open the understanding to Ed Brock. I ask you to reveal yourself to him so that man can see the truth of the gospel and get the anointing upon him where he can believe, where he'll call me and say, Thurman, I believe that God's word is true. I want you to get some of the men together, and I want you all to anoint me with oil and pray the prayer of faith for me. And if you will, then God said he would heal him. So we got to convince them, right, Scott?
Absolutely.
So now then, if you don't have prayer, and you haven't learned how to pray, and you do not pray, you're out there just saying, oh, God, will you please do something? I can just see the devil in the throne room of God. I can just see him laughing at you and me. You don't even know what that man's name is. What do you mean getting him healed? How dare you come in the courtroom here and try to get this man healed, and you don't even have his name. You don't even know all the details about what he's done. You don't know he's redeemed from the curse. You don't know nothing. That's why Dave was teaching you what he was teaching you about communion a while ago. He wants you to know who you are. He's learned that well. You got to know who you are and what you can do and how to get it done. But whenever I go and pray and ask the Lord to open Ed Brock's heart, open his mind, call him into the kingdom of God, gloriously fill that man with the Holy Ghost. Now, that's something that very dangerous when you start asking God to fill Baptist with the Holy Spirit. He might just do it. And if he does, wouldn't that be wonderful? When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, all kinds of things happen. Wow, one of my good friends, he was a Baptist too, and he was a deacon. And he was so strong against all the gifts of the Spirit that he wouldn't let nobody come to that church that if they even thought about talking in tongues or having a gift of the Spirit. Nope, he didn't want to see them in that Baptist church because he said, Baptists don't do this. And then lo and behold, one day somebody heard about him and started praying for him and asked God to give him revelation, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and to fill him with the Holy Spirit. And guess what happened? Because of prayer, the Lord filled that man with the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget the first time he walked out and started to talk to somebody, just like he walked up to a man or whatever, and he started speaking in tongues. And he thought, "What is this?" And so he thought, "What did I just say?" The guy said, "I don't know. You're speaking in a language I didn't understand." He said, no, it couldn't be happening to me." But it did. His name was Frank Hammond. Cheryl and I went out to see him from. He was a great man of God. I will have to say that. But wow. When you learn to pray, what you can do when you learn to pray. Those spirits are, they have to be subject unto you. So when you demand and command those spirits to leave, to go away, and you ask the Lord to send the Holy Spirit, when you do get through to them, and you pray for them, and then after, if you take this scripture, if we believed, and we take this scripture we just read there a while ago in James 5, that's the scripture we actually use. That's the scripture that actually God gave that to me, so that's why we used it. But he later revealed to me that it doesn't make any difference what scripture you use as long as you use them. They're all there for his glory, right? You know, all of God's promises are, just like Dave said there a while ago. Where's that at? 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are yes and amen all the time. So, you know, if you use those promises, and we finally prayed enough through that deal with Ed Brock that he finally called me. And a man that said, I don't believe this, absolutely don't believe this, after prayer, he called me himself and said, "Thurman, I've been reading that scripture over and over and over, and that's what it says." So he said, "I'm 42 years old. I'm really too young to die. I don't want to die at 42. Nobody wants to die at 42, I don't think." But he was just about ready to go home. And so anyway, whenever he called me and we went over there, or actually he came over to the church, and I called about 6 or 8 deacons and Sunday school teachers and told them to call somebody. And so when we all got through, there was 28 men showed up to pray. 28 of us. Those 28 men, the only time, first time we had ever done that in our life, we prayed over that man. We anointed him with oil. And it took us 2 hours, longest prayer meeting I've ever been in my life, in a Baptist church. And within just a few months, about 6 months, Ed Brock was totally, completely healed and totally well, and he's still alive and well today. Yep, that happened in 1986. But it took God about 6 months. Even after God spoke to me audibly and told me what to do, and we did all of it, it still took about 6 months to get him healed. So if somebody prays for you and you don't get healed right now, does that mean God's not going to heal you? No. The answers are still yes and amen. As long as you get rid of the stuff, don't fail to realize that he may be doing a great work in you. He's not through with you, so don't give up. So anyway, like I said, we prayed for Ed, and I will have to say that those 28 men, in fact, years later, I was over here in Irving years ago, and all of a sudden I was back there trying to get some parts for a computer or something in a computer store, and I heard a man scream, "Thurman Scrivener," and I jumped up to look, and here comes a guy, his name was Tony. Tony come running around and he said, "Hey, Thurman," he said, "I still remember what happened with Ed Brock. Isn't that wonderful? I was there when Ed Brock got healed." And I thought, I hadn't seen this guy in 5 years, and this is the first words out of his mouth. He remembered what God did in Lakeland Baptist Church with Ed Brock and how he healed him. That changed those men's lives forever, most of them. But I know it changed mine, that's for sure. And it changed a lot of other people since then, because when God's put me on that trail to praying for the sick, I couldn't even begin to tell you how many men and women I've seen healed. Could you, Scott? No, even Scott. I mean, he's only been in this business a little while but compared to me, but he couldn't even tell you the number of people him and Kim have prayed for and seen miracles happen. But Cheryl and I, the last 13 years, we've really seen some awesome miracles. But God is still the healer, and he wants to heal, so don't give up. Okay? So are we okay with not giving up?
Amen.
And I want to thank each one of you for the prayers you've done and everything. Now we're going to do the communion.
Yes.
It's communion time, and if I could get my communion team to go out here and...
We have a healing school Saturday.
Oh, yeah. The healing school is Saturday at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock, a healing school Saturday. And the church again, 2 o'clock next Sunday afternoon. We need to know how to pray, do we not? If we know how to pray, then you can overcome the enemy. If you don't know how to pray, the enemy will overcome you. But anything is, nothing is even hard for God, nothing. He can fix anything. So they're going to pass out the communion, the bread and the juice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, okay, yeah, we got the Psalm 91 cards up here. If you don't have a Psalm 91 card, we'd invite you to come get one. Or have what? We have some in Spanish. Okay, we have English and Spanish. So if you know somebody that, or think you might run into somebody that's Spanish, get them one of those cards and give it to them. They're up here on the front row, right up here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, we pass out. Pass out the juice and the wine and get you passed out. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good, isn't he, kids?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the time. He's an awesome God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah. We heard from our man up in Minneapolis the other day that had hip that was going to have to be replaced. Actually, not replaced. They were going to cut off his right leg. We went up there and prayed over him, and lo and behold, the guy's completely healed. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. That's what a wonderful thing. I ministered to them in the hotel for about an hour, and then we had to go to the meeting, and they got there a little late, so they had to sit on the front row, and the building was full. There was no seating, no spaces left. So they had to all sit on the front row. So every time I'd go to one of those promises of God, I'd come over and say, "How about that, son? Is that for you?" He said, "Well, I ain't sure." I said, "Forget it. You ain't got it yet." And finally, after 2 hours of that, he said, "That's for me. I got it." I said, "Okay." So we prayed on him, laid hands on him. And it was when the meeting was over, I said, "You want me to pray for you?" He said, "No, I got it." He said, I'm done. Sure enough, he went back home to Minneapolis, went to the doctor the next Tuesday or Wednesday, and the doctor checked him, said the cancer's completely gone, and he is completely healed, and he has been completely healed ever since. So, in fact, who is the man, the older man, that is that just a friend, the plumber?
Dave.
Yeah, is he just a friend?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. But anyway, isn't it wonderful to see Jesus heal a young man's leg? So I hate to think about cutting your right leg off. That just don't even sound good, does it to you? It certainly doesn't sound good to me. Wow. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank the Lord. We have Will's family in Houston.
Okay.
In two different sections, quite a bit of family on both sides. But we prayed, but we couldn't get a hold of them. And for days and days, we couldn't get a hold of them. And finally, I was able to find a number that rang. And I talked to them. Neither one of them, they were totally dry in that little section.
Is that something?
And yet they couldn't get to each other to let them know.
Wow.
And I just want to thank God for taking care of
us. Amen. Well, pray, pray, pray. Are we about right?
Just about.
We're, in other words, we're almost all passed out. Huh? Yeah, Paul said some of y'all get drunk. So we don't want to get drunk. We're just going to take the bread and the juice and praise the Lord. All passed out. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this bread and what it represents in the body of Christ, and we are completely healed by this bread in Jesus' name. Amen. And they eat the bread. And the most powerful thing in the universe, the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. It takes care of all of our sin. In Jesus' name, we're washed in the blood. You got anything wrong with you, or you had any kind of need, don't go home without prayer. I don't care what it is you need prayer for. God cannot answer the prayer of faith if you don't pray it. And so stay and make sure somebody prays for you before you go home. Okay? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the food, the blessings. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for the dry ground we have to sit on. Thank you for the dry beds we have to sleep in. And Lord, we ask you to bless the people in Houston and all over that country down there. Give them the favor. Give them healing, give them direction, give them understanding. And Lord, thank you for saving their lives, their children's lives, and providing water. I know that's one commodity that's so short. Lord, see that they get water. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.